Now, you have kept the goods in a custom bonded warehouse for a certain period of time. When you want to clear the goods and take delivery, then first of all, at the time of keeping the goods in a custom bonded warehouse, you file an into bond bill of entry, integrated declaration, which is known as into bond bill of entry. Here, the importer of goods seeking to warehouse the goods without payment of duty will file into bond bill of entry on ICES through ICEGATE under section 46 and following procedure. First, you have to obtain a space booking for the goods from a licensed warehouse keeper. Upload that booking through eSanchit. File a bond as per requirement, what you want, single one-time bond or a general bond. Give the necessary surety as per the regulation. And after assessment is completed, get approval by the bond department. You have filed the bond, bond department will give approval. And then goods are examined for the purpose of prohibition's applicability. And after the goods are examined, then transport the same to the warehouse, custom bonded warehouse, in a truck or container, that is closed truck or container, after putting the one-time lock, that is the RFID-based one-time lock or seal. This is movement of goods from the gateway port of import to the custom bonded warehouse. Once it has been bonded over there, you want to ex-bond it, use it for your purpose. The importer or owner of the warehouse goods seeking to clear the goods for home consumption under section 68 will now have to file an ex-bond bill of entry through ICS ICEGATE. And the custom station of import, this will be filed at the custom station of import. They will assess the bill of entry for clearance of the warehouse goods for home consumption. And here at the time of assessment, the applicable rate of duty over here would be as on the date of clearance of the goods. That means when you want to clear the goods from a custom bonded warehouse, you are clearing it maybe after 6 months, maybe after 1 year or 2 years. Then duty payment will be as per the validity of the duty structure on the date you are clearing the goods from that custom bonded warehouse. It basically means that if there was any customs notification, exemption notification previously, and within this period they have been withdrawn, then you have got to pay the duty as per the current valid notifications. Or if initially there was no exemption mentioned, full duty was required to be paid. Subsequent to that, when you have warehoused the goods, at the time of clearance, there is a special exemption notification is allowed. So you can claim the benefit of that exemption notification. Why? Because goods will be assessed on the date of clearance of the goods under Section 68. Owner or importer of the goods will produce a copy of the assessed ex-bond bill of entry with the order for clearance of goods for home consumption after payment of duty, given to the jurisdictional bond officer assigned to the warehouse for permitting clearance of the warehouse goods. In case the importer doesn't want to clear the goods for home consumption, he wants to re-export the goods, then importer or owner of the warehouse goods seeking to re-export the same under Section 69, he has got to file an ex-bond shipping bill on ICES through ICEGATE. And the customs station of import will assess the shipping bill for export of these warehouse goods. Subsequent to that, the export duty, rent, interest, and other charges which are payable in respect of such goods will have to be paid. And the completed shipping bill with the let export order granted by the proper officer of customs has got to be given to the jurisdictional bond officer assigned to that particular warehouse for permitting export of the warehouse goods. And the goods would move from that particular warehouse to the point of export under a closed truck or full container by applying RFID-based one-time lock. Now, there is also a situation of refunding of customs duty which has been erroneously, by mistake, paid to the customs department. Many times there have been miscalculations somewhere here and there, or by chance a certain exemption notification was available and due to some oversight it has not been applied. And after clearance it has found that, yes, this exemption notification was available. Also, for export goods on which duty has been paid. Now, normally for export goods, duty is not required to be paid. There is a very small list of about 26 items where duty is required to be paid for export also. Now, in case of export also, if duty has been paid and the goods are returned back to the exporter because the goods could not be exported, or they are re-imported back within 1 year from the date of exportation, then all such duty has got to be refunded back to the exporter on an application made by the exporter within 6 months. Importer also, he has paid any export duty, it has got to be refunded to him in the following cases. If the goods are found to be defective or not as per the specification of the importer, importer after clearance, he finds that goods are not as per specification, he may send it back and claim a refund. If the goods are identified as such imported goods, and if the importer does not claim duty drawback, goods are exported or importer relinquishes his title to the goods and abandons them for customs, or such goods are destroyed or rendered valueless in the presence of customs department within 30 days of import. In all such cases, because the importer has not used the imported goods, he is entitled to claim a refund on the import duty. There is a special procedure involved for refund of duty. The refund of duty and interest, if any paid, can be claimed either by a person who has paid the duty or a person who has borne the duty. If the importer has not sold the goods to a third party, then he can claim it himself. But if he has sold the goods to a third party, then the third party has borne the duty component. So that third party also can claim a refund. Any person claiming such a refund of any duty or interest paid on that has to make an application to the jurisdictional deputy or assistant commissioner of customs. The application for refund has got to be made within 1 year from the date of payment of duty and interest. The amount of refund claimed shall not be less than rupees 100. Duty amount is less than 100, it's not worth the time spent to claim a refund. And the applicant has to establish that the incidence of duty and interest has not been passed by him to another person. That means he is ultimately the user of that particular item after payment of duty. But if he has sold it to somebody else, then he is not the claimant. He cannot claim the refund. when such an application for claim of refund has been made, the custom has got to finalize the refund claim within 3 months. Otherwise, the custom department has to pay interest to the applicant beyond the period of 3 months. The application for refund found to be complete in all respects by the custom department is processed to see if the whole or any part of the duty and interest paid by the applicant is refundable. First of all, this is processing of the application claim. In case the whole or any part of duty and interest is found to be refundable, an order for refund is processed. But now there is a subjective condition being applied on the refund claim. In view of provisions of the unjust enrichment enshrined in the Customs Act, the amount found refundable has to be transferred to the Consumer Welfare Fund. Now here, if the importer cannot show that he has sold the goods but he has not passed on the incidence of duty to the buyer, he is not able to prove it. So it basically means that when he has sold the goods, he has also collected the excess duty from the buyer. So technically speaking, the ultimate buyers are the people who should get a refund. But if there are a large number of consumers, it's very difficult for all of them to file a claim. And it's very difficult for the customs department to call each of them and pay. And therefore, on the consumer's behalf, the refundable amount of duty and interest which has been passed for payment will be deposited with the Consumer Welfare Fund. And this Consumer Welfare Fund is used for consumer protection only. The amount of duty and interest found refundable in the cases where incidence of duty and interest has not been passed to another person, importer has proven that yes, when he has sold the goods, he has not claimed the excess duty amount from the buyer, then it can be paid to the applicant, that is the importer. Here, doctrine of unjust enrichment and Consumer Welfare Fund, these two situations, let me explain to you what is the basic meaning. The unjust enrichment results from refunds of customs duty in cases where they are levied in the first instance, but which became due for refund on account of its having been wrongly levied, has already been passed on to the buyers of the goods. Now, this has caused an undesirable of granting such refunds to the importer. So, this is the doctrine of unjust enrichment. When we are talking about Consumer Welfare Fund, the credits are available for making grants to any applicant, that is the consumers, for reimbursement of legal expenses incurred by any complainants in a consumer dispute. You know, disputes are arising and consumers go to the consumer courts. There all legal expenses are being borne from payment out of this Consumer Welfare Fund. And its final adjudication or any other purpose recommended by the Central Consumer Protection Council. So any legal expenses which is borne by any consumer anywhere, he goes to a consumer court for redressable of his grievances, then all legal expenses is borne by this Consumer Welfare Board and amount used from this Consumer Welfare Fund. Thank you, friends. Yes, oh my God, this definitely needs a deeper study. You have got to do a deeper study on this. Thank you.